Welcome everyone to this live radio variety show coming from the cosmic radio receptors of KCIW LP 100.7 FM, located today in sort of rainy coastal Brookings in Oregon. My name is Dr. GG, and you're tuned into this week's edition of Doc It.
Oh, Jacques, yeah.
My co-host is, all as always, Jacques Wolf-Kepner. How are you, Jackie?
I am great, Doctor. I'm feeling very good. It's a wonderful day. What is a day's date? It's March 27th, 2024, here in this unique year, this wonderful area. Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning in to our radio variety show. As I said, today's date. Now I see it on the script, but that's okay. We don't have scripts here. We're every Wednesday between 4 and 5 p.m., you can expect an informative, fun hour of live on-the-air acrobatics.
And we will start each week's show with a medley of fascinating stats and facts blended in with some medical info that can affect our health and or expand our knowledge base.
And after the good doctor dispenses her medical wisdom, we will introduce this week's guest for a creatively composed, colorfully cosmopolitan, consequentially cordial, charming conversation with a coastal community celebrity.
Nice. We will save the last segments of our weekly show for some good humor,
yeah.
Clean jokes. No quotes this time. And yes, I want to shout out to our loyal listeners, especially Lucas.
Hey, Lucas, what's going on, dude?
Thank you so much for listening and sticking with us. And we're starting right now on the Doc and Jock Show. And
Lucas is in Salt Lake City,
yep.
And we got Chris and Sherry in Missouri, and Denise, and we have so many people. Dave is listening today.
Yes.
And Victoria is listening, and Jaden, and Jared. Vera. All these people are listening to us. Who else?
Janice.
How about Janice? We got some great jokes for you today. Can't wait. Get your pens ready, because I'll be filtering them throughout the whole conversation, unbeknownst to the doctor. Okay, that's my cue to kick off this week's topic of MDGG, or medical dialogue. Oh, I turned my phone off. Wait, hold on, folks. Let me take the time to open my thing.
All right, I'll just go ahead here.
No, don't you dare. It's medical dialogue, according to my dear co-host, Dr. GG, who you've done many things, including teach and done, worked in hospitals in New York, all over the place, patent-holding, award-winning German doctor, Dr. Gigi. What have you got for us today?
Today, we're going to talk about the back/spine.
The spine, like the back?
Spine, what we're calling, whatever we call it, so back or spine.
Okay.
So what we call back is made up of vertebrae, the bones of the back bone, and the spinal cord, and other nerves, muscles, and ligaments. Our neck is made up of 7 cervical bones. Our chest is made of 12 thoracic vertebrae.
What is thoracic?
They each hold the vertebrae.
They're also connected to your ribs, maybe? Which one are the ones?
The ribs, yeah.
Yeah,
the ribs. So the thoracic ones have 12 ribs.
Hey, guess what?
12
thoracics. That text I got, we had to silence it.
Lucas.
It's from Lucas. He's Salt Lake City going, yay. Lucas. I hear him. I'm hearing you guys. So he's streaming live here on KCIW.org.
And then we have 12 lumbar vertebrae.
Those are the lower. I always think of lumbar as lower.
Lower lumbar, yeah. We're born actually with 33 vertebrae. And if you can count together, 7 and 12 and 5 is not 33. Why? Because the sacrum, the vertebrae of the sacrum, will fuse together to make the sacrum, which is basically one big bone, and the coccyx, which is the tailbone, which is the last fused together vertebrae.
Remember that on the Milton Bradley game Operation, the tailbone connected to the thigh bone's connected to, that one. By the way, I have 112 vertebrae around my my chest, because my heart is so big.
Your heart is big and your chest is big.
My heart is
and
big.
Your brain is big.
No, my brain is massive, of course. It takes up most of my
brain. Okay, what are you, 250 pounds?
250 pounds of solid, rock hard, tan man muscle. Yes, that's what I am.
That's him.
Thank you.
The name coccyx, remember?
COCYX, yep.
It comes from the word cuckoo. The cuckoo's beak looks like our coccyx.
Wait, wait, wait. The cuckoo bird from German mythology, the one that comes out
mythology,
of the
mythology, we really do have the cuckoo bird.
Oh, that's, you're from the Black Forest where they make them, right, in Germany? Are you? You're not. You
are not making this. You mean the cuckoo clocks?
The cuckoo clocks. They make in the Black Forest where you're born and raised. That area, right?
Yes, yes.
So tell me, what's the story with the cuckoo?
So the cuckoo bird, I thought everybody knew, but
I did not know.
I guess I did. You didn't. So the cuckoo bird actually lays the egg, its egg, in somebody else's nest. And then the cuckoo hatchling comes out, and it's bigger than the others, has a bigger beak. So it opens up the beak, and the parents just see a big beak. And so they stuff it with worms. And it grows faster than the other nestlings, hatchlings. And so it kicks it out after a while.
It kicks,
so
it kicks the baby
out. It kicks out the other baby.
Pretty ruthless.
And then the little birds raise one cuckoo bird, which is probably three times the size of the
So the cuckoo
parent.
Bird doesn't really be raised. They're hostage taking, or they put their babies into the nest of
other
birds.
They put eggs in the nest of where other eggs are, and somehow the parents don't notice, the other birds notice it, and it's...
The other night when...
Are you my mother type of
thing? Yeah, right?
You never know, right? The mother bird doesn't know anything. The father said, it's just a big beak thing. It's almost like the other night I was in the dark outside in that rain, and I saw this figure approaching me in a raincoat. And when I came up close, he opened up the raincoat really fast. It was Ray Gary.
Oh,
he was naked.
Okay, never mind. We are the only mammals who suffer from scoliosis. You know what scoliosis is?
I do not. What is scoliosis?
Scoliosis is when the vertebrae, the backbone, kind of veers to the side. We have a little
The curvature.
Yeah, to the side. I
didn't know that.
So we're the only ones that have that. Did you know, well, you probably did, that we're taller in the morning and shorter in the evening, and also shorter with age? We're shrinking. Because the discs in between the vertebrae kind of shrink and get squished.
Except our ears and our noses get bigger.
Yeah, that's what I heard too, but I think it's true. The spinal cord is the nerves that go from the brain down to the end of almost to the lower lumbar.
Is that not part of the brain?
That is part of the brain. And then we have the peripheral nerves coming out of it. That only weighs 1.5 ounces.
Wow. The spinal cord itself, it's made of cable.
Yeah,
you know,
it's basically
fiber optic cable.
It's fiber optics that get information down to the body and up to the brain.
Interesting.
Now, the spinal cord can actually function on its own or independently.
Wait, the spinal cord can
function independently, so off the brain. So that's what we can see when we do the reflexes. So, for example, somebody wants to do a knee-jerk reflex. They put a little hammer.
That little orange hammer you gave me on the first day we went out. Yeah, I remember that. That was your gift to me. Said, here's a little. Yeah.
So you push just below the kneecap, which that is the tendon from the quadriceps. And so you push on that kneecap, and that extends the muscle, the quadriceps muscles. And so the spinal cord says, wait, hold on, what's going on? I never got an information from the brain that the quadriceps are extended, so I'm going to contract it again. I'm going to make it shorter because I never got the saying from the brain. And so that's why the quadriceps gets contracted. And that's how the lower limb
jumps. That's why you doctors use those little hammers.
Yeah.
Do you still use them in these?
Yeah.
I remember, well, you used them on our first date. You knocked on my head and you heard it hollow and you said.
Pea-sized brain. No, thank you. Smoking affects the spine and increases
smoking.
Back pain.
What a trip. So if you're a smoker, you complain about back pain.
Maybe. You know why? Because smoking constricts the blood vessels, so the healing cannot go on as quickly as it could be with better blood vessels, and so we're extending the sensation of pain.
Can you contrast that by maybe drinking coffee, which opens the veins up?
No, coffee does the same thing.
Coffee constricts the veins?
Yeah, that's why it works for migraines. Dang it.
Darn it. Darn.
So how many vertebrae? We have 7 cervical vertebrae in our neck. Jackie, how many do you think giraffes have?
They have 2,300. Okay, 250. No, double that.
They have the same amount as us. They're mammals. We all have 7 vertebrae in our neck, even though their neck is so much longer.
Wow.
So let's talk a tiny bit about back pain. Back pain can be caused by a lot of different things. Most likely, it is caused by muscle or ligament strain. So muscle sore after working out, after bending the wrong way, after pushing something, pulling something. So that is one of the most often causes, most frequent causes of back pain.
Do you see a lot of patients with back pain?
I do see a lot of patients with back pain.
Lower back pain, upper back pain,
neck? Usually lower, mostly lower, the lumbar area, yeah. So bulging and ruptured discs can really cause back pain because they can actually push onto the spinal cord.
Yikes.
And that can actually be dangerous.
When I broke my neck, I herniated 2 discs. What is that?
That means, so you broke your neck, you actually broke the vertebrae, something in the bones of your neck, and the herniated disc is the cushioning in between the vertebrae, and they push on your spinal cord.
Right.
So you're lucky you're still walking, although it had. Tell us the story for a second.
Well, I fell when they were fitting me for a cast, and I hobbled around. I said, I could use these crutches, and I went down on my crutches, and they were too small for me, and I felt this crushing pain in my neck, and I fell to the floor and flopped like a fish. And passed out. When I woke up, I was in a cage. They had a thing, they had things screwed into my head, a full aperture around my head. They said, okay, not only did you break your foot today, dummy, but you broke your neck. So I had that was an experience of my life. Thank goodness there were steroids, though. They gave me a steroid.
That is one of the treatments that you can do if you have, not a herniated disc, but inflammation around it. If you have inflammation, it will push on anything and everything. Also on your spinal cord, which can cause pain, can cause paralysis,
right,
and whatnot. So you give the steroid shot and the inflammation goes down.
I know we have an opioid epidemic in this country, and opioids are only supposed to be used for a short time.
Usually.
I'll tell you, Doc, after that neck operation, after that experience, it was the only time I've ever taken opioids.
Yeah.
They worked.
Yeah,
like
they do work.
I felt no pain for 2 weeks, and that was all it took me to get weaned.
Yourself off. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Very smart thing to do. Now, the other thing that can cause pain is the normal wear and tear, which we call osteoarthritis, which is the wear and tear bone on bone, which actually, believe it or not, is treated with physical therapy.
Wow.
That's cool. Something pretty cool.
Cool.
Osteoporosis can happen when we have brittle bones, so to speak. We have weak bones that can fracture quickly and can be ground down. So that is another way of getting back pain. And there are osteoporosis medications. Ankylosing spondylitis is somewhat of a rare disease, but I'm bringing it up because I actually worked with somebody who had that. He was in his early 30s.
Really?
And ankylosing spondylitis is when the bones grow thicker and they fuse. So he in his 30s already couldn't look over his shoulder. He had to turn his whole body to see the person who talked to him from the side. Interesting. Lower back pain or back pain as a whole is the leading cause for disability.
Huh.
So people or insurances are trying to get something done for this because they don't want to pay for disability, obviously, right? So there are a lot of things being done, new technologies, old technologies to get rid of that back.
Wow.
For example.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have, as I said, we have physical therapy. We have surgery. There are fusings done where you can fuse the vertebral bodies or you can surgery where you pretend you're putting cement in a damaged vertebra to get it.
Oh, that's a liquid cement. They squirt in there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually really, really cool. Really an elegant
It fills
way.
Up the cracks in the brain.
Yeah.
Yes, the
vertebra.
Yeah,
in the vertebrae, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think.
Chiropractors can crack your back, so they're putting the distance in between the vertebrae against
Have you ever been to a chiropractor?
I have actually for my leg. They cracked everything. It was very uncomfortable. I thought my brain was falling off or my head was falling off. If you're not used to it, I only went once or twice. It does help, but it's scary, right?
So there you go, chiropractors. This doctor believes in chiropractic.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Then there is nerve ablations that can be done. So you go, I don't really know how that functions. They go in and radio with radio frequency, they ablate the nerves. And so again, then you don't have the pain sensation anymore. That works for a while.
Frequency is music.
Hey, there we go. That's right. Tunes us in.
The steroid injections that we talked about, a discectomy, that you take the disc out and put some other space in there. Very important.
Laminectomy. I discoed last night.
Disco?
Yeah, we disco disc.
Laminectomy. Laminectomy is when they take a little bit of a bone of the vertebrae away also to alleviate the stress or the friction which causes pain. But I do see patients who are on pain medication as a post-laminectomy pain syndrome. So I don't know how good that is.
You don't like pain management, do you?
No, I'm not a pain management person.
But
I'm not
called upon it all the time, right?
Pardon me?
People demand that you give them pain pills.
Yeah, they don't understand because it was done by the primary care physician many years ago. You know, they just dole out the opioids and then they got in trouble because, number one, they made people addicted to it. Number two, they caused a lot of deaths by people overdosing on not necessarily the prescribed ones, but the ones that they liked. And then they got on the street and then bought. Yeah, it's a travesty. And then they have one thing I want to highlight very briefly is something called lumbar interspinous distraction decompression. So I thought, yeah, that is that really weird.
We need to hear it again.
I know. So that's why we can say it in English. They put a spacer in between the vertebrae, which is the English version of the same surgery.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
That is cool. Well, thank you for that intriguing and interesting health talk about the back and the spine. What is it going to be next week? Have we decided?
We don't know yet. Something shorter, I'm sure.
Let's talk more about my brains. So masked. All right. Okay. I have developed, the doctor and I have developed over to our fellow and loyal listeners. People have heard us evolve from the beginning when we were so chopstick, kind of staccato, not knowing quite what we were doing. Is all these programs. When you begin, you're not as good as you become. And then we slowly have progressed, and now we are on a roll. Today's our 23rd or 24th? 23rd. So we're halfway through the year. We have a special guest on today that so many of you know. But before that, I'm starting these weekly shows with a prologue. And here's a prologue I wrote just the past few days. In our fast-paced, technology-driven world that we all inhabit, it's all too easy to lose sight of the simple and yet profound connections that truly enrich our human experience. What am I addressing in this prologue? Well, one particular example is the bond that bridges entire generations with the magical interplay of youth and wisdom, new and old, learning and learned. Today on Jacques and Doc, we have the privilege of exploring a remarkable program that not only honors this intergenerational dynamic, but elevates it through the universal language of music. Last week, when we had Danielle and Nate Stone, Danielle Duran and Nate Stone on, I gave part of this prologue, and that is, where would we be without music? What would our human species be like without melodies to make us sing along joyfully or nostalgically or capture past memories through its magical portals? Think about this. Music affects all of us, from the time we're born with our mothers singing nursery rhymes in our ears to the times of our deaths when choirs sing in lament of our passing. Music is anything and everything that encompasses the lyrical structure of instruments and vocal assets individually or in composition with one another. Now, listen carefully to the next three words that I will speak slowly and methodically. Quote, harmony, and me. End quote. These three words simply represent the name of a not-for-profit 501c3 entity, which is the brainchild of today's guest, our friend, and so many of yours, Tricia Iverson. Tricia has spent a lifetime bringing together young children and elderly seniors in a tapestry of melodies, life lessons, and beautifully intertwined lives. Just pause to consider the poignancy of this endeavor. Wide-eyed youngsters, souls brimming with possibility and curiosity, finding themselves harmonizing alongside our wisest elders, seniors who have weathered life's storms and triumphs.
Yeah.
In such a sacred space, harmonic vibrations transcend age, abilities, and all backgrounds. For music has long been revered for its power to heal, to unite, to stir the depths of the human spirit by immersing our youngest and eldest generations in these rhythms and notes. Harmony and Me taps into that profound capacity where bridges are formed, perspectives are expanded, and perhaps most importantly, smiles and warmth abide across a sweep of expressive generational love and respect. And so in a world increasingly fragmented and segmented by age and differences, Tricia Iverson's vision shines as a beacon, reminding us of our deep and soulful interconnectedness. On today's Doc and Jacques Radio Variety Show, we are so excited to jump in like little five-year-olds and learn more about this unique program and its vibrant founder. And who better to tell us all about it than she herself, Tricia Iverson. So welcome, Tricia, to the Doc and Jacques Show.
Woo, welcome.
Well, let me—
How are you?
I mean, the tears from my eyes. Thank you for capturing pretty much, you know, the objective that I've had probably since I was 5 years old.
Sure.
So, yeah, and it was a Ray Conniff song.
Very nice.
And the lyrics are, "The time has come, let us begin, with all our voices joining in, to sing of love and brotherhood and people doing what they should, to help their fellow man be free and fill this land with harmony.
All right.
The young, the old, the rich, the poor, making sounds never heard before." So that's a song by Ray Conniff and the Singers. And it was the only song that I'd practice on piano. And I was at the piano at 5 and 6 years of age, writing The Mission. So The Mission was instilled in me that early. And so my vision has been, we won't say how long that is now, it's been some time.
For our viewers, the listeners that are not viewers, we're seeing a glisten of tear in your eye. That is beautiful. That's the beauty of live radio that captures that. So,
well, you very nice. Did such a beautiful job, really saying what I'm up to and what the, you know, the dreams and visions are of the work that's cool. being done.
Tricia, where are you from, and how long have you lived here?
I have lived in Brookings for 8 years.
Uh-huh.
I started my life in California and San Diego.
Yeah.
Which, and correct me if I'm wrong, doctor, but the first sense, besides the heartbeat, which is touch, basically, is sound. So in utero, sound is the first sense that's developed, and it's the last sense that leaves us.
That's the last sense. That's right.
So I was breathed in sound at the ocean.
Oh,
and we lived
nice.
three blocks from the ocean. So born in San Diego, besides that as my lullaby, the Doors and all the 60s and 70s, you know, rock was, you know, it just, were my lullabies. So San Diego is where I came from, and then moved to Indiana, and then bounced around a lot of different places.
Do you still like it here? In what?
8 years,
do you
right?
like the
yeah, 8 years.
Here.
We came here 8 years ago. We came up for Valentine's Day, fell in love. And May, immediately made an offer to on a house in March, moved in May. So it was just perfect timing, my husband and I. So from after bouncing a bunch of different places, northeast, southeast, northwest, Washington, like all different kinds of places. Just
so you're liking here, you want to stay here. Is Brookings or Harbor your chosen?
Yeah.
What do you like best here?
The ocean. So it goes without saying the ocean.
Be surprised when people hesitate on that. They go, yeah. But you say right away the ocean.
Yeah, the ocean. And if there's a feeling that I think that is here, and maybe it's just the ocean.
No, there's
although
a vibe. There's a vibe.
Ions for the, you know, for being this close to the water. But definitely that, the mountains, you know.
Do you wish for something that we don't have? What would you, if you
shopping.
I've heard that before. I think we've asked that to every guest we've had. I mean, shopping's been one. Hospitals, mine is a 45-minute expressway to Medford would be great.
Yeah. Or
right.
Plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Tricia, tell us, he gave us the big introduction prologue, which was awesome. Tell us, what is your official title and position at Harmony and Me?
I am the executive director, founder of Harmony and Me.
Yeah.
As many nonprofits in our community, we wear many, many hats. Mm-hmm. I currently teach all of our classes, which is amazing, and I love it. But I look forward to sharing that responsibility. It allows me to really just get in there and make sure the programming is how we really want it to be in line with the vision work that we have been doing. I teach a music program called Music Together, which I've taught for over 25 years. And I was thinking about teaching, and when did I start teaching? And I remember that I was an assistant teacher at the YMCA when I was 11.
Swimming, 11-year-old swimming instructor. So you're obviously a water baby. You love the water.
Yeah,
right?
I love the water.
Okay.
11 years old, I started teaching. And probably sooner than that, too. But nonetheless, at 13, I started teaching. And teaching is just like a part of who I've always been.
Yeah.
So I taught in Montessori schools. So I taught music in Montessori schools. And then I discovered this amazing music curriculum called Music Together and pulled that out and started using that curriculum because it's beautiful, beautiful music and it's worldwide, so I can go anywhere. That's what moved me from the East Coast to the West Coast was an opportunity with Music Together. So I said goodbye to snow and said hello to the snow
in the forest and the rivers and the lake.
It's always funny to me when someone says it's snowing and I'm like, so when I left San Diego, I went to northern Indiana by Lake Michigan.
Yeah,
and that was snow.
Yeah,
and on the East Coast, that's snow. So when someone says, oh, look, it's snowing, I'm like,
yep, Salt Lake City, that's snow.
Yeah,
it's cute.
That's right, Salt Lake City.
So, yeah,
so that's knows that well.
Where I came from and where.
So you wear a lot of hats. Which one is your favorite? And which one is the least favorite?
My favorite hat to wear. Any hat that I'm wearing that has me in the presence of many enjoying and benefiting from music.
Amen.
So when I'm in the settings where I get to see the benefit of music, either with our, you know, babies classes, which are 0 to 8 months, when I see babies engaged in music and being, you know, responsive to music, that just, you know, is just so dreamy. And then when I'm in the front of a 106-year-old and they're engaged and participating in music, those are the opportunities that I
right on
the most.
So
getting to see those.
Help us get our head wrapped around it. We've been discussing on the phone, you've given us a literature, and I was just kind of saying, how do you summarize Harmony Me? From my take, it's like you're helping very young children learn the musical arts. The same time, you're bridging that with the elderly, the wizened seniors in our community that are doing things. And I would love to hear your response to that. But first, doctor just points to the clock and says, it's already halfway through the show. Okay.
We took a lot.
We're sorry about that, folks. So let me just say this quickly, and we'll get right back to this. You are already, we are already at the halfway point of this week's edition of Doc and Jacques. You have tuned in to KCIW LP 100.7 FM in Brookings, Oregon. Thanks for tuning in. You can find out a lot more about us here on the station and Doc and Jacques by going to kciw.org. I cut that short because I want to get right back to the moment we were just talking about. So you're bridging this huge gap between young children. You said 0 to 8 months, and then up to 5 years old, and then even longer through instrumentation and music. But then the elderly come in, and how do they come in? Is it through rest homes? Is it through nursing facilities?
Yeah, well, the like I said, I think that at 5 years old, the vision work was laid down. You know, I think that the work was already there of what I wanted to do. And about 2005, I started the intergenerational work.
Yeah.
So I started finding opportunities where, well, and it doesn't necessarily need to just be intergenerational. We would take teenagers over and do music with special needs. So, but it was bringing two groups of individuals together that normally would not be together.
Yeah.
For the purpose of making music, which is a tool that can break down barriers between differences.
Amen.
So I started it then. I pretty much funded it myself, which wasn't sustainable. So I've kept building the programming and morphed it. And then in 2016, started a nonprofit. And
so it is a 501c3 nonprofit.
It is.
Cool. That is so cool. Where are your headquarters?
Brookings, Oregon.
In Brookings Harbor?
Yep. Yep. And we do have a operating as a foreign entity in California as well. So we can function and
so you do stuff down in Crescent City.
So what is the difference? How do you see the difference between Oregon and Crescent City doing
Brookings, Crescent City? Is it pretty much the same?
I go to Gold Beach too right now and have every intention of making a strong foundation so that it can grow many places, because the curriculum that I used is worldwide. The nonprofit can essentially grow worldwide as well. So I could drop the work off into any community that there is in the world and support it. Some things that have happened for me in Crescent City is I've solidified contracts with the charter school there, mm-hmm. and I've also solidified contracts with Redwood Coast Regional Services,
yeah.
which supports kiddos with special needs and youth and teen even. And
so you go and offer classes for those institutions?
Yeah, those
week or so?
Well, they are able to join our regularly scheduled classes.
Okay.
So I have the regular classes that we're running currently.
Mm-hmm.
We did run the intergenerational classes locally started at Azalea Gardens. I started doing intergenerational classes at Azalea.
Which is a nursing rest home, basically.
Yep. Okay. Well, I originally did it like way south, you know, like many, many years ago, and we would go to the Catholic school. We'd take the kindergartners over to the sisters, the elderly sisters, and that's where that started. And then at that same time, we were doing the teenagers with special needs.
Right on. Boy, so, you got your hand a lot of pots going with all sorts of intergenerational groups. Where are your headquarters? Doctor and I drove up today from Crescent City, and as we drove in, we stopped at I thought it was your headquarters there in Harbor.
My studio's there, yep. We have a classroom space, an office space, and a studio.
Nice.
Let's see. Everybody grab your pens and papers right now, because you're going to be having to take down a lot of information. This woman is a full dynamo with lots of information. But where are the headquarters? Where's your studio?
My studio's on south of town, south of Brookings, at 15671 Highway 101 South. It's in back of the Allen's Granite and Marble building.
The Granite Marble one. And Hamel, the Granite
it was just marble. Before where the Great American Smokehouse used to be. It's between Little Bay Motors and West Coast Restoration.
Okay.
On the mountainside.
There's that little blue cute A-frame that we like.
Yeah, there's a little A-frame there. And that's where we kind of started in a 5x8 storage unit. When we weren't able to do the intergenerational classes anymore or the in-person music classes,
because of COVID,
we went ahead and took a 10x13 space there and did Zoom music classes. And I had a 5-month-old student who to this day probably writes songs every day.
Wow.
So we started via Zoom. And then at that same time is when I started getting funding, United Way Southwest Oregon, Oregon Community Foundation, Curry Cultural Coast Trusts. We've gotten a lot of funding that has allowed us to not only sustain the work that we're doing, but help grow the work that we're doing. So we were able to, when March 2020 happened, and we could no longer go physically into the care facilities, I was my heart was broken, because that's what I love to do, is be connected with those residents, have those connections, have those music opportunities. So I didn't probably sleep until Thanksgiving of 2020 until I could figure out something to do so that we could be back in the facilities.
Yeah.
There was no chance we were going back in the facilities, but what we could do is we could capture people singing and giving messages of love and support and saying happy holidays, and we could capture that onto a home movie and then deliver that to all the care facilities at every
That's what you're doing during COVID. That's right. When I first met you 3 years ago, that's what you were doing. You were exclusively doing that, making videos of everybody that would come along and say, hey, sing a song or tell a story, and then I'm going to replay this later on. Today, at your headquarters, which we just visited, right?
Yep.
You have a big playroom there for the students to learn in. Then you got a studio, which Ray and Tom Bozak, you should go see her studio. It reminds us so much of the studio. As we walked in, there was black sound-absorbing stuff on the walls, and it's a great little studio. And so you're recording there, and you're still doing this.
Yeah, that in part is part of live streaming, that we were able to have musicians come in and capture performances and then push those to the care facilities.
Great stuff. Or so come in and make a recording.
Yep. Or the kiddos can just come in and do an open jam and explore the instruments and explore musicality for themselves.
What's your favorite group to play with? There's a young 5-year-old.
I don't think that I could identify my favorite, because seeing the joy of music in anybody's face. I like going to live music, and you know, there's like this thing that happens. You're bouncing your head, the person over there is bouncing their head, and you're connected.
Right.
And so any time when music is the identifier of connection is my favorite.
Do you also go to other special groups like palliative care or dementia wards? Do you go to them, or you play music for them?
Yes, one of the projects that were in development still is DeCapo. Okay. And that DeCapo means to start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Coda is the end of a musical piece, and I thought that that was going to be what we were going to call it, but I didn't want it to be that. I decided, let's change this name. DeCapo means go to the beginning. So what I have created is a questionnaire, and ideally the teenagers are interviewing our elderly, capturing their journey of music through their lives, and then making sure that that is bedside, just for them.
Yeah,
and so that's an opportunity for them, first of all, to have that interaction, that intergenerational experience, but also then almost even open up a dialogue of our seniors' favorite music and our younger's favorite music, and then just that conversation that's going.
Hey,
and then just the benefit of the music.
There's an olive branch extended from KCIW, from the brass on down. We are really involved and want to become more involved with the young adults. And so if there's any programs that you think can think about where we could use these facilities to facilitate your groups, especially with the youngsters coming in, we are here for you. We'd love to do it.
Awesome.
We're all community-based. We're 501c3. We've got these studios here, and maybe we can encourage some high school kids or whatnot to come in and become more involved in the broadcasting arts. So that's extended to you.
We're getting ready to do recording workshops at the end of the summer. So the hope is to have the kiddos being involved in that, and then also music editing and video editing. I've just partnered with a preschool locally that I have some kiddos. It's been hard getting kiddos. So I've had a hard time getting teenagers involved. I have my students that I work with, and I have partnered with a homeschool group here. So I've had some of those kiddos, but having that solid flow of students to be able to, you know, come in and do what we needed them to do to learn, first of all, but also to support just the projects that we're up to.
Hey, spontaneously speaking here, let's get together with KCIW, because you can have the kids do that, and then they have this platform to project it out to our community. We're both community-oriented. We're both 501Cs. Everybody's all in the same boat. We all want to help our community. Wonderful. We'll talk about that later.
So how do you select your children that you invite?
Well, I
do you reach out to
market
them?
To through Facebook, through the preschools. Yeah. I'm targeting preschools and through families.
So
I'm
targeting high school or any other school entity.
I'm a one-man show, yeah. So, I got all the hats. And we're waiting for some, as soon as there's like the right supports in place, then I can branch off into additional areas. I have conversations that have started with I got to listen to the Nick Rail and Corey.
Yeah,
show
Nick
recently.
Rail,
yep.
Yeah.
And then, so Corey and I have connected multiple times. He's as busy as I am, busier.
Yep.
So we're just trying to align with opportunities to do that. One of the Azalea Princesses approached me at the nonprofit fair.
We're on your radar.
You're on my radar. Yeah. So connections for those opportunities as well.
We're going to have them come in, a couple of those princes.
Yeah.
The gals we met last week at that 501c3 fair at the Grange, where we saw
awesome.
You.
Yeah.
You're busy.
And we've had at every festival that we've been at, we have encouraged and promoted. I'm kind of.
Yeah, she's pulling on a bag full of goodies here. Yeah,
there it
is. So we make an instrument at every festival. And then most recently, we've been having. A studio set up at the festival so that kiddos can get up and sing.
Oh, cool.
And be recorded.
Yeah.
And be internalized.
Yep. And we're the recording workshop, who's going to be hosting that is partnering with me, and we're building a mobile studio.
You mentioned this one. That's right. So it's going to be a van on studio on wheels. So you could go around to where the people are. Where the kids, where the adults, where the old folks are living and operating out of.
Yep. And if there are musicians there, or if there's veterans that are musicians, we'll roll up, set up, play, record. Cool. Yeah.
Right.
Keep music going on and the power of music.
What are some challenges you have faced being most likely the one woman show?
Torchbearer. You're the torchbearer.
Biggest one, but what other challenges have you faced and overcome?
Yeah, I would say that, I'm so thankful for my board and everything that they do. And today there were people from the board at the studio plowing through and helping get things in order. We meet monthly, so they've been at every month.
How many people are on the board?
Currently, we have 7 people on the board.
Good.
We have a vice president and all the officers except for the board president. That's a vacant position right now that we're looking to fill. But we have lots of things that we're doing and up to. The biggest challenge is finding volunteers. And in our community, there's so many nonprofits, and the distribution of the volunteers is an opportunity for us.
Yeah, it's an opportunity. We were so impressed with your studio today when we came in there. What a dynamic thing to see you working this. You've got your proverbial hand in a lot of fires right now, but all good stuff, Tricia. Hats off to you that you're doing this and putting it forth. And volunteers, how do people find out about you? How do they want to involve maybe working with the children, maybe recording? What kind of positions are there for volunteers?
There's lots of volunteer positions available. I think on our website is on our Facebook, and if not, then we need to get it up there. I'll contact our IT department. Hey, Tricia, what's up? The ways that we are seeking volunteers are at the events, when we make these instruments for the kiddos, there's a lot of work that goes in behind that. So booth support at the festivals, consultants, legal and accounting consultants. We're doing a lot with music, and we want to, maybe even evolve that. So there might be some needs for making sure all ducks are in rows.
Yeah.
And the recording studio support, music teachers, musical instruments, office support, organization participants, social media team, and volunteers for music classes.
I'm hearing instruments. Nick Rail.
Yes,
he's yelling at us. Going.
You use at the at this nursing homes, yeah. in addition to the intergenerational experience we have, and because we weren't able to do that intergenerational experience on top of Caregrams and Gramps, we started doing a project called Move to the Music. So we go in every week and we do a choreographed dance sing-along for about an hour where we present the residents with songs with the lyrics on the TV so they can sing along with us. But having additional volunteers in those spaces for that experience, it would be helpful to encourage the participation. The participation is happening, but the more people we can get involved in that is special.
And has shown how much it helps people to develop or not losing their faculty, so to speak, to keep their brain going. Music is very important. And also, if you choreograph it with movement, you put that together. Very important.
Just visiting, I think anybody that is over 50 has seen the inside of a rest home or a nursing home, and sometimes observing some of the loneliness that goes on to being there, just being the presence and lifting up those people's souls is rewarding.
Yeah, I had a gentleman who, the Caregrams and Gramps that we were taking in, one of some of the footage that he had got to experience, he said, "This is going to prevent me from stultified lethargy." And thank you for giving me a new word, but and more so, thank you for allowing me to be a part of that process for you, because it is, you know, music does so much for the brain and so much for the soul. So I'm proud that we've been able to continue to do that work and that we do that work. So
very important. And you don't have to be musically inclined, really.
I heard Corey mention it too, is that there's only 2% of the world that cannot sing in tune. 2%. He may not have given that percent. And then there's 2% that are like Elton John and all the greats.
Sure.
Everyone else is in a bell curve. So should you want to move from the 3% anywhere up into the 98%, there's that opportunity of engaging in music and participating in music and doing it on a continual basis.
As the singing telegram guy around town, I always tell people, you can sing. Try singing Happy Birthday. Everybody can sing Happy Birthday to you.
Absolutely.
Everybody. And they chime in, and it's wonderful. Beautiful.
Well, and Twinkle Twinkle. I like for the kiddos that we teach, so we have private instruction. So I like for them, I'm working on a different song than Happy Birthday for those that don't celebrate that holiday.
Oh, yeah.
But it's in triple meter. So triple meter, and then duple meter is Twinkle Twinkle. And then You Are My Sunshine and Amazing Grace are two songs as they start to progress into chords and the ability to play chords. That I think that is good because, again, that duple and triple meter, and those are differences.
You are the sunshine of my life. Wow. There's a reason why Teresa Iverson is on the show, and it's been because, you know, I was texting out and sending on Facebook that you were our guest today, the past few days. I've got so much positive feedback. So many people love you. So many people, you're known by so many people in this community. But I think for me, at least, it was trying to wrap my hands around exactly what are you doing and what was Harmony and Me. So now we're getting to understand really what it is. It's a huge bridge, wonderful service you're promoting and giving our unique, wonderful coastal community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I was on the show a year ago. I was on Quality of Life. Peaceful Living. I got to be here for that about a year ago. But yeah, I think letting people know who we are and what we're doing is still in the works.
How do you fund your operation?
The same question I was just going to ask. Where's the funding?
We just recently got some funding from Stage Lights. So they gave us some funding to sponsor some kiddos for, our most recent grants that we've received are Oregon Community Foundation. So through grants and through programming. So our Move to the Music that we do at the care facilities, the parent-child music classes that we do, my private lessons that all.
But you have to write the grants proposals for that, right? I mean.
I do. Well, I have my secretary actually, who Kimberly Bartlett, who is our secretary of our board, she laid the foundation of the nonprofit down for me. She wrote everything. Wow. She's my sister. And
who's that?
Being a younger sister, I would, my brother and my sister would come to me and I wouldn't listen to them unless they were singing. So
what's your sister's name?
Kimberly Bartlett.
Right.
So she laid the foundation. She didn't complete everything, but at that time I was like, I'm going to complete it because it needs to be done. But funding is gradually coming in and it's growing. And
it also helps if folks, you've got if you want to donate your time or money, give it to an incredible organization and a 501c3 entity like yourself. This is great. What are your future plans? We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left, 5 minutes left. What are your future plans? Anything big on the
growth? We got some fundraisers that are going to come up. We're doing intergenerational gardening. So we'll probably be selling veggie starts. I think that we're going to have a bunco party in the next 2 months.
Okay. That's what found that last arrow is bunco
party people. Coming up. We'll look forward to like a music fundraiser at the Grange.
Right on.
Probably later in the year. The marketing workshops. We are hosting sound baths on Sunday, the third Sunday of every
month. Sound baths?
Yes, yeah, sound baths for kiddos from the Tibetan bowls and gongs and everything. So we do that for teenagers. So we do that in our space. So those types of workshops and stuff are helping fund us.
Wow.
And we're on the brink of these big projects that should be yielding some results. Man, and funding.
You fit the Beatles song perfect. 8 days a week. I love you working 8 days a week. It sounds like you've got so many cool things going on.
Now tell us, now pens to hand, right? How can interested individuals, volunteer donors, get involved in your nonprofit? Give us the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, get your pens and papers and write this down because you're hearing it right from Tricia Iverson, founder of Harmony of Me. She's going to tell you how you can reach out to her personally and find out more about her.
Yep. The phone number to reach us is 541-217-4234.
Okay, let me do that. I'm going to say it again.
541-217-4234.
Okay. 4234. Nice.
Our Facebook is Harmony and Me Music.
Harmony and Me Music, Facebook.
Is it Harmony and or is it the and sign?
It's spelled out and.
And.
And then our website is harmonyandme.org.
Wow, easy.
And there are links to monthly gives. There's links to... if you wanted, I would reach out to me. We have recently been awarded a technical assistance grant from the SBD.
Okay.
Keeping the acronyms. And they're going to help support the website being refined.
No, are you part of the Women in Business?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, with Kimberly Todd. Hey, Kimberly Todd, if you're listening. Yeah, we're going to go to a mixer, right, with her tonight after this at the Rice Bowl. So if you want to know more about that. Tricia, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Growing, just growth. I see us expanded into Coos. I see us expanded throughout Del Norte, maybe even into there a little
CCD.
Bit. I just see growth and opportunities. I see me not having to wear so many hats. I see a full recording studio able to have our talented local musicians come to our studio and make a recording. I see the mobile recording studio at festivals throughout Oregon.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so I just see lots of things in the horizon for us.
Well, again, I wanted you to know that you can always feel free to join with KCIW to empower the youth in our coastal village.
Yeah,
especially the youth, get us involved. We'd be more than happy to promote, put out public service announcements about anything that you're doing. We are here for you. What's your tombstone gonna say?
You know what? When I thought about that. Well, I've got three really that I what Facebook
you can have three.
Says, what Facebook says is BRB.
Be
right back.
Be right back.
That's what Facebook says in my tombstone.
That's, okay, that's mine.
I don't know who Arthur O'Shaughnessy is, but Gene Wilder quoted him in Willy Wonka, "We are the music makers and we are the dreamers of dream."
Right on.
And then I think that otherwise it's dream big or go home.
Dream big or go home. Well, you certainly do dream big.
And work big.
Yeah. You have been an incredible guest. Again, to reach you on the phone, it's 541-217-4234. You can go to Harmony and Me, that's all spelled out, lowercase.org. That's your website. And then Harmony and Me on Facebook.
And harmonyandmemusic.com with a list of all of our upcoming classes.
Hey, I got a shout out to Tyler Lindemann, who used to take piano lessons when he was five.
Restarting.
Is he? Hey, good, good. Victoria Casey's son. And yeah, he got so excited, but he'd come home and, you know, he loved your lessons for a while. There are kids, a five-year-old, you know, after a while, it's like, hey, got other big.
He's coming back.
He's coming back. Well, good to hear. Okay, where are we?
We're ready to start Fun Time Corner. But thank you, Tricia, for Iverson, for coming in. It was very, very super interesting. But we're now ready for Fun Time.
You said we don't have any quotes today, but we have funny. This Tricia, pardon me, Tricia, you'll like to hear some of these too. But particularly Janice, no quotes, but just kind of funny things. You start off.
All right,
read some of the.
I just realized that I'm made of 73% of water. I'm actually not fat. I'm just flooded.
You're just flooded. Okay. Hey, Doc, I started a new exercise routine.
Yeah.
Every do, I do diddly squats.
Diddly squats? Nice.
Yeah. There you go.
A termite walks into a bar and points at the bar and asks, "Is the bartender here?"
Is the bartender here? Hey, I used to be addicted to the hokey pokey dance.
Yeah.
But then I turned myself around. Dave Ray just shook his head. Hey, Doc, I just burned up 2,000 calories.
Whoa, how did you do that?
I took a nap while the brownies were in the oven.
Okay. Always borrow money from a pessimist.
Why is that?
Because they never expect it back.
I'll do it. I'm reading a book about anti-gravity.
Yeah?
It's impossible. Put down. Hey, a recent study has found that women who carry around a little extra weight live longer than the men who mention it.
I like that. I think we should start telling people that their brain is an app.
Why is that?
Because that way they will start using it.
They'll use it if it's an app. That's true. Hey, the doctor and I went to a wedding last Saturday. Our two Wi-Fi friends got married. The reception was perfect, but it was also so emotional. Even the cake was in tears. Okay.
Adam and Eve were the first ones to ignore the Apple terms and conditions.
Hey, you know that refusing to go to the gym is a form of resistance training?
That's for Luke.
Don't do the next one. The next one, it's off limits. We can't say that. That's I can tell when people are being judgmental just by looking at them.
Are people born with photographic memory?
I don't know.
Or does it take time to develop?
Hey,
okay.
Wait. We're done. You don't pay your exorcist, do you get repossessed? Okay, we're about
whiteboards
that point.
Are remarkable. Okay. Okay, sorry. We are already at the point where we reach the magical ending time for this week's Life Radio Variety Show. You have been listening to Doc and Jacques on KCRWLP 100.7 FM in beautiful Brookings in Oregon. We hope that you have enjoyed the show. Jacques Wolff and I certainly have enjoyed learning so much about Tricia, Harmony, and me today. Right, Jackie Boo?
Yeah, that's right, Doctor. Listen, everybody, thank you so much for cutting away to music. Peace and love. We'll see you next week.